Lots of things go better together. Hockey, food, golf, peanut butter and jelly, Gojo and Golic, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. What? But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On the clock for draft week on Gojo and Golic. Well, the guys just spoke with Arizona's Jordan Morgan, but who else? Linebacker Steel Chambers coming up. They talked with Duke Mayweather on Wednesday. Bo Nix, Matt Miller from ESPN, and then Thursday, Joe Alt. I'm sure you guys are very excited about that one out of Notre Dame, and then ESPN's Mina Kimes. But as I mentioned, we do have Steel Chambers standing by to talk with you guys about the draft coming up.
Yeah, no, I can say, speaking of the Notre Dame connection here, Steel Chambers, a guy who came and made sure that we had not a great time in South Bend this year with all those fun green jerseys as his Ohio State Buckeyes came out and got it done in South Bend. Steel, we appreciate your time this morning, man. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
No, we appreciate it. And we want to get to everything coming up with you and the NFL draft. I think it's a really interesting time for the position of linebacker in the NFL at this current juncture. But we got to start. We saw the article about grilling. Mike Tannier talking about your passion for grilling. Where did this come from here? I saw you busting out rubs, talking about all this. So where did the passion for the grill come for you?
It came from my roommate, Kate Stover. I mean, he got the grill at first, and then we just started grilling every single Monday during the season. So that kind of got us going. But, well, I mean, I love it. It's fun.
It seems that you enjoy the seasoning part of grilling as well. That's
my favorite part. That was my duty in the assembly line of us cooking. I was a seasoner.
So did you follow a recipe, or were you just kind of seasoning on your own?
Kind of on our own, and then as we went, we sort of understood, like, our own little recipe, so then we just started going off that.
Did you start, like, cooking for other teammates? Did this evolve, or was it just you guys and where you were?
It was just us for a little bit, and then after a while, we started inviting our teammates over and stuff, so it started becoming, like, a nice little team bonding thing.
All right, wait, speaking of bonding here, do we just see, are you a cat dad in the frame?
No, I'm a dog dad. I'm a dog dad.
Oh, interesting.
That's my sister's cat that came on screen.
Okay,
and you know what? It's okay if the cat comes on screen. We're all dog and animal lovers. We're dog people too. But if the cat comes back, that's cool. No worries at all about that.
I'm cool with cats. I'm a big dog guy.
We're there.
Is that one of the questions that you get asked during the draft process all the time, where everyone tells you got to answer that you're a dog and not a cat?
No, I'll probably ask people that. I never get asked that, but I'll ask them.
Interesting. Okay, so that's when you flip it and start interviewing them, you ask if they're dog or cat.
Exactly. People never flip it on them because they're sitting there asking all these questions. I kind of get bored, so now I got to ask my own questions.
That's a great job out of you.
The interviewer The Steel Chambers difference. We like that. So, Steel, you talked about that process. What has the process been like for you? You come out of one of the name brand institutions in college football in Ohio State. You guys had a great defense. You were part of an awesome linebacker group there. So what have teams wanted to know about you as you've gone through and talked with them during the lead up?
It's been a little bit of just like normal questions as far as like, just have you gotten in trouble in the past? Just like your background, trying to get to know you a bunch. And then they'll get into like a little bit of the nitty gritty, ask like what kind of player you think you are, like what kind of scheme you think you fit in. And then they'll try to hit you with these off topic questions that just try to see if you're a good fit for the locker room, good fit for the program.
So not the first or won't be the last, a guy who changed position, but first couple of years at Ohio State, you were a running back. So talk about that transition when they approached you, or did you approach them? How did the switch to linebacker happen?
It started my junior year. My bad.
That's all right.
It started my junior year going into spring ball. We were really short on linebackers at the time, and Coach Day at the time asked me if I wanted to make a change just for the spring, for the depth, and I said no. I was pretty hard-headed. And then throughout spring ball, I realized I wasn't going to play at all. We had Travion Henderson coming in. That dude's ridiculous. So once we started getting into the summer, I started talking with my family, started talking with my linebacker coach at the time, Coach Washington, and then we just realized it was probably the smart move for me to make the move to linebacker.
So that move also coincides with, you know, you guys get a new defensive coordinator in Jim Knowles, who comes over from Oklahoma State. What was different about his scheme, and what did you learn being a part of that defense under him that you think is going to help you make this next jump?
It was just a very advanced scheme. I mean, day one we come in, we were all just confused as to what the hell he wanted us to do as players. I mean, it was, I can't really even describe his scheme, but I mean, I think it's just a great way to, if you can learn that scheme, I feel like you can learn any sort of NFL scheme. If anything, whenever GMs come to me asking me to like go over some of their plays that they have, they seem kind of more simple compared to what we went through. I mean, because Jim Knowles really put us through the ringer as far as just understanding the game of football.
Yeah, I do love his defense. There's no doubt about that. So
it was awesome.
Yeah. For you, what was in your mind one of the biggest things you're going to have to improve upon at the next level?
I'd say probably dealing with the big heavies on the inside. I'm not a big scrapper as far as just me eating the whole, but I will. But I mean, I want to dip and rip with a little bit. I want to try to side shuffle those guys, but I mean, just being able to just handle those big guys in the middle.
And I think in general, the linebacker position is one that's getting talked about a lot in the NFL right now. We've seen NFL offenses spread out, want to throw the ball more, and so defenses had to get lighter and faster to match that right now. When you look out into the NFL currently at the way the game's evolved, who are some linebackers that you've seen that you think do a great job that you want to try and emulate parts of their game?
Probably Fred Warner. I know our linebacker coach, Laurinaitis, I'm pretty sure he had a man crush on him because he'd always show highlights of him on Fridays. But, I mean, I think he's a fantastic player. Just shows what he can do in the run game and in the pass game. Just being a disruptor whenever the ball's in the air. I feel like that's kind of the new wave of linebacker that's kind of coming to the league.
What's the plan for draft day?
I'll probably be, like, on the river walking my dog or something.
There we go.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I probably won't be watching.
Now, tell us about your dog.
Yeah.
What kind of dog do you have?
This is a question. His name's Maverick. Maverick the Husky after Top Gun.
Oh, there we go. All right.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of dog?
Husky.
Husky. Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, incredible. So, going to be on dad duty for the draft here. And I'd imagine also watch a bunch of your friends and former teammates getting drafted Ohio State every year. Putting a bunch of guys in the draft, I'm curious for you, on the defensive side of the ball, you obviously look good on good a lot during training camp. Marvin Harrison Jr. has been talked about a ton in this draft process here. When you guys lined up to go against him in practice, what's the number one thing that jumps off the page playing against him?
Just the pain in the ass. I mean, whatever you do, you can't really contain him. I mean, you can try. You could try double-teaming him. You could try a corner one-on-one with linebacker help, whatever it is. If a quarterback puts the ball anywhere near him, he's going to find a way to get it at some point.
The other thing that was kind of surprising as you're leaving the college game, but you, a coach comes to Ohio State who was a head coach. Chip Kelly was a head coach at a Power 5 UCLA and leaves that to be the O coordinator at Ohio State. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, and then I heard some segment of him talking about how he enjoyed just – less pressure on him being in that what is he now? Is he the quarterback coach?
I think he's the OC.
OC. Well, yeah, he was just talking about just less pressure just being the OC. I think he was talking about spending more time with his wife and stuff. So I understand that. I know I give thanks to Coach Dave just the stuff that he has to deal with as the Ohio State head coach. So, I mean, I feel like I understand why Coach Kelly came.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of noise around that program. We know certainly in the last couple of years, especially with, you know, how things have gone, I don't want to, you know, bring up the Michigan rivalry too much on here and sour with
all good, brother.
All good. Well, what was that experience like, especially in the last couple of years? I mean, that's the game that defines your guys' season every year. We know it's been a tough one, Michigan lifting the title. So what did that do to the mood around the building there? How did you guys have to adjust with that?
I mean, it definitely sucked because, I mean, you work all year for, like, one game and then – last 2 years we just weren't able to get it done, so it definitely sucks. But I mean, I feel like it kind of brought us together as a team. Just realize that you're not promised anything in this game. You can work your ass off all you want, but at the end of the day, nothing's guaranteed.
We, you know, talked about Marvin Harrison Jr., a guy you went against in practice. You went against JJ McCarthy in that game. We talked about his place in this draft. What did you see from him as a player when you guys scouted and prepared for that game, as he's now steadily rising up draft boards?
He was just able to make plays at the right time. I mean, he was a hell of a player. I mean, great with his feet, able to extend plays, able to just make something out of nothing. So definitely a guy that I can't say that, I guess. Just a guy that teams are going to want.
Yeah.
Got to be careful how much nice stuff you say about the Michigan quarterback, huh?
I feel like I was brown-nosing for a second. I need to stop myself.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. Now, it's so weird. Now you go to the next level. All of a sudden, the rivalry, you become teammates with guys you played against for Michigan. It's a wild thing, but you still make your bets, that's for sure. More importantly, how old is Maverick?
He's 3 years old.
3 years old. So what does Maverick, do you need a leash to walk him? Is he that well trained? What does he do?
He's a menace if he's alone. I mean, whenever you've got him here, he's quiet. He doesn't like make any noises, but if you leave him alone, he'll find a way to leave the house. He's escaped our house in Ohio probably 2 or 3 times. But I mean, I see him on the screen there.
There he is.
Maverick.
That's my boy right there.
Does he chew? Does he chew anything when you're not there? Does he chew anything up?
Absolutely.
Okay.
he's gotten way better though. But I mean, there's the point where it was bad. He was peeing and taking a poop in all my roommates' rooms.
All right, marking his territory, which is, you know what, something.
He hated my roommate Tommy. Absolutely hated him.
Oh, Tommy Eichenberg. Okay, wow.
He hated Tommy.
Did that make things weird in the locker room?
Absolutely not. No. I mean, sometimes I'd wake up to like a yell, like if he smells like pee in his room or something.
So if you had to make a choice, if either Maverick or Tommy had to leave the place, who was it going to be?
I'll give it to Tommy, I guess. I can just send him here with my mom. But I mean, it'd be a close call.
Yeah.
It would be a close call.
There we go. That's a team guy right there. Everyone paying attention on this upcoming NFL draft. Steel Chambers, ultimate team guy. Steel, can't thank you enough, man, for coming by and giving us some time. Best of luck. Enjoy your time with Maverick for the rest of this week. We're excited to see where you land at the next level.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Love a proud dog, Dad.
Oh,
what a cute
absolutely.
Dog.
That's a great looking dog.
What a sweet boy. And you know what? And listen, I do think it's a really interesting time for linebacker. He mentioned his style of play in the NFL. We had seen for years that was the adjustment. Linebackers who were great athletes like that, former running back going out there, trying to dip out, trying to make plays. And now a lot of the league, especially I think in the NFC, we've seen between teams like the Eagles, teams like the 49ers, even the Giants 2 years ago when they made their run to the postseason, a lot of it was on the backs of, hey, we're going to go and shrink these formations, try and beat people up in the middle. And it's put some teams in a tough spot with lighter D tackles and lighter linebackers.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But like I said, why wouldn't you want to dip and rip on a big old guard coming at you?
Yeah.
You'd rather do that than take him on. I mean, you just don't see a ton of that
anymore. The button shed backer is kind of a dying breed now in a year where we've got Patrick Willis getting ready to go into the Hall of Fame. Get ready to watch highlights that look nothing like the modern NFL game.
That dude, well, I covered him in college and the NFL, stoned so many guards coming out. But you're right, that's just not done as much in the league now.
I'll be curious to see if we have that as a transition back to that, as a lot of the league is getting back to ground and pound, exploiting that market inefficiency there. Lots more to talk about on that front here. Claudia, we do have some news that pertains to the next division that we're going to talk about here in the AFC West. Is Zach Wilson finally finds a new home after our long national nightmare.
Yeah, so if your mom lives in Denver, watch out. Because Zach Wilson's going to be a Bronco, baby. The Jets trading the former number 2 overall pick. The Jets receiving a 6th-round draft pick from the Broncos. Broncos getting Wilson and a 7th-round selection. Jets also expected to pay some of his $5.5 million salary in 2024, according to NFL Network. So, Gojo, what do you think about this move? I guess it's not too surprising the Jets are letting him go. Does it really matter that he's on this Denver roster now? What's your take on this one?
Yeah, I think this is just kind of like he had to go somewhere. We knew he wasn't going to stay in New York. There were all of the, you know, bad feelings from during the season when he was getting benched about, did he want to go back onto the field after injury started to mount up in that quarterback room? You had the Jets owner at the owner's meetings basically saying we didn't have a backup last season. So the writing was on the wall. This was just untenable in New York. And, Dad, this is a guy we know. It's the same book kind of as, you know, I think to a lesser extent even than Sam Darnold when he left New York, which was talented guy who was never really able to put it all together there. We've got a decent enough sample size for Zach Wilson where he's probably going to go and be a guy that has a chance to be a backup now. He's got starting experience, which is valuable in that role, but that quarterback room in Denver, far from complete.
This doesn't change what Denver's going to want to do as we get into. Real quick, 2021 first-round quarterback draft class. Zach Wilson, Jets, gone. Justin Fields, Bears, gone. Mac Jones, New England, gone. Trey Lance, San Francisco, gone. The only one, Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence.
Out of that draft class. Incredible.
Yeah, it's a good reminder
when we talk about 50% failing. I mean, it's a hell of a lot more than 50% failing there.
And it's a good chance for everyone to go back and look at, hey, how did we get here? Zach Wilson, tantalizing physical ability, played at BYU against some lesser competition behind a great offensive line. Did we get an over-index too much on the pro day throws and some of the arm talent stuff?
Yeah.
And also, this is the Jets. Like, it's a reminder that there are some organizations that are always going to squish and kill whatever good thing you put inside their grips. And the Jets have certainly qualified for that. The Browns over the years have fallen into that category. So environment, incredibly important. Let's talk about the environments of some of these other ones here. The Chargers, who we mentioned talking to Duke Manyweather before, the fifth overall pick. Team needs, we know, wide receivers all gone between Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. The offensive line has been a project there for a while. And, Dad, that's ultimately where I still think they go.
Yeah.
I think understanding Jim Harbaugh's personality, Greg Roman's style of offense, they need beef on the menu to go out here and be successful. And that's why I think Joe Alt could be a guy that comes off the board here, even though he'd be making that left-to-right transition since they're already set at left tackle with Rashawn Slater.
Yeah, the wouldn't stun me if they want wide receiver, getting rid of both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, who was hurt last year. Austin Eckler also gone out of the backfield. But I agree. I think they go O-line. I think they go Joe Alt, the class of the O-tackles this year.
Yep, the other one would potentially be receiver there. And at five, you know, this depends on, do the Cardinals trade back and allow a team like the Minnesota Vikings to come up in there at four, where you'd have Marvin Harrison Jr. off the board. If they did already take Marvin Harrison Jr., though, and you were going to go wide receiver here, Roma Dunze, I think, should be the second guy off the board. I understand the speed is tantalizing, the explosive traits of Malik Nabers, but you just lost a big-bodied ex-receiver in Mike Williams and your route runner and your all-time producer in Keenan Allen. I think there's a really great combination of both those skill sets in Roma Dunze that would be incredible there. He'd be my second wideout off the board. Dad, the Broncos, an interesting spot because a lot of people still wondering at 12, would they be one of the teams to reach on quarterback?
Yeah.
Do you think they should?
Or they move up? Or would they be a team that's going to trade up? We talk about Minnesota possibly trading up. The Broncos possibly. And I'll continue to say, depends on the grade. You know, what's the grade? You know, is J.J. McCarthy going to be there? Or we keep hearing Minnesota trading up to get him. Is Bo Nix, what's the grade on Bo Nix? What's the grade on Michael Penix Jr.? Do you have a grade for them there, or is it a little lower, but we know you still reach for a quarterback? You get the shivers when you see about the first round 2021 class where all those guys that have failed there of what you're going to do. They need it. They still need a quarterback. They're not set at that position by any means. So if you have one that has the draft grade that you want, you got to grab one.
I just think that ultimately for Bo Nix or for Michael Penix Jr., that's going to be a little bit too rich for everyone's taste. I think we learned a lot watching what happened with Will Levis last year, who came in. Now, not nearly as accomplished a passer as either of those two guys. Certainly all the tools were there, and he slips out of that first round in a way that surprised a lot of people. With Penix, I just don't know with his injury history and with his age how you can justify taking him in the top 15.
So as we move on to the Raiders, who are one pick past the Broncos, I guess you could ask the question about both. The Raiders may go cornerback here possibly, but they also possibly looking at a quarterback. Do either one of these teams trade back? If they don't think the value is there for a Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix, do you give up that spot where you can get a quality player, trade back into the later part of the first round to try and get a Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr.? You take that chance and actually trade back the other way.
Certainly a possibility, but I think also if you get one of the premier offensive linemen on the board, I've seen Talisi Fuaga mock to the Las Vegas Raiders, or depending on what the cornerback situation is like, because where they sit right there, you could have a shot at one of the top
Mitchell
two
in Quinyon
Mitchell or Terrion Arnold. And I think at those positions where it's also cornerback, an incredible position of need across the NFL with how much passing still goes on in this league, I think it'd be tough to turn either of those guys down, even understanding, hey, you got time to build the foundation right now with Antonio Pierce and that new regime there. So I would say if any of those guys in the premium spots are on the table, you probably got to take the run at them. Kansas City all the way down at 32, Dad, defending Super Bowl champs, going for the three-peat now, unprecedented. I think the assumption is wide receiver here for this team, right?
Oh, I think it has to be. I mean, listen, Rashee Rice stepped up. They wondered who was going to step up. They led the league in drops going into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Obviously, you still have Travis Kelce, who was hurt the first game. But Rashee Rice did step up for them. But they need to load up more talent there. So and it's a very, very deep class.
And this is one of those because, as you know, Brett Veach and Andy Reid both get extended and they're going to continue to be around there. As long as you've got that foundation, it feels like whoever they pick, whether it's A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy out of Texas, if Ladd McConkey ends up sneaking into the back end of the first round, they're all going to look and feel good because the guy throwing you the football and the guy calling the plays are two of the all-time greats that our league has. All right, guys, let's talk about Jägermeister. They could have written a totally normal ad here, like a really classic ad. They could have talked about their history, the 56 botanicals. It could have been all salesy and cutesy, but they know you don't care. Jägermeister doesn't want to be like all those other ads you've seen and heard. They just wanted to say two things. Jägermeister is great, but everyone has been drinking it wrong. Damn, that's cold.
Drinking it wrong? All right, if that's the case, how should we be drinking it?
They are so glad you asked, and so am I, Dad. I'm here to help you. Ice cold is the answer, at 0 degrees Fahrenheit to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it. That's all they want to tell you. So, wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends or at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
It's giveaway time here on Gojo and Golic. We're giving away $1,000 in bonus bets if you enter the Gojo and Golic draft pick'em pool. Find us at Gojo and Golic on Twitter. You'll see the link there. Go click it and then answer the questions about the draft, like will there be a trade in the top five? Where will the guy's beloved Sam Hartman be drafted? And who will be the highest drafted Gojo and Golic guest? I like that one. Mm. Go follow the show on Twitter, enter the contest, and make your picks for the 1K in bonus bets. That's fun.
That we love that. At Gojo and Golic on Twitter, man. Go follow the account. Lots of great stuff goes out there anyway. You already should be following it. I'll log on and do a meme every once in a while. All our show clips go out there.
It's always fun, too, to find out what these guys are doing on draft day. I remember mine clearly where I was drunk, sober, drunk, and then sober again because it took so long for me to be drafted.
Rode a wave. Sounds like me at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
I was skinny, fat, then skinny again, then fat for a little while. Also drunk during most of that time.
Yeah.
So drunk. God, I was so drunk.
My brother Bob bought a lot of beer. For the draft when I was at Notre Dame. And went through a wave there before I got the call from the Houston Oilers. It was like at midnight. And I was like, yeah, cool, thanks.
Sure. See you guys at Rookie Minicamp. Going to have a great time there.
Yeah.
But you all can have a lot better time on draft night by, again, going, entering the pool, and trying to win $1,000 in bonus bets because who doesn't want that? Lots of great stuff. Make predictions. Show your friends how much smarter you are than them. That'll be a great time. So we're looking forward to that right there. We're also looking forward to spilling some tea here in the end.
Yeah.
This is an always giving league when it comes to the off-court drama, the soap opera of it all. And much like the NFLPA decided to do the report cards for the different organizations where we get a lot of the mess, the NBA players just decide everybody can get it. Fellow players, the commissioner of the league, teams around here. So we've got the anonymous player poll that got released by The Athletic yesterday, Claudia. And there's some good stuff in here.
Yeah, so nearly a third of the league voted anywhere from MVP to the one true GOAT, the conversation that always comes up. Overrated and underrated players, which I feel like is so messed up, but that was part of it. The interesting part of this was that Wemby was voted the player that they would sign first if they had to start from scratch to build a roster. So already, we have barely seen Wemby for a full, well, I guess technically now, a full season in the league, and everybody's saying he would be the one player. Not Jokic, not Edwards, not Doncic. Nope, Wemby.
That's something. What? Jokic was right there. I mean, it was close, but boy, to have Wemby right at the top.
I mean, he's 20 years old. It makes perfect sense.
But it's not like these guys he beat out are a lot older. I mean, these guys are like 23, 24, 25
years old. Well, I mean, Jokic is what, 27
he's
or 29?
Older.
He's a little
older,
bit older.
But the other guys there are younger. I mean, Anthony Edwards is just, the first pick a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you know what they're not? 7'4"
yeah,
with a handle.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
You know what? You know what they're not is already a guy who could very legitimately win Defensive Player
yeah.
of the Year.
Yep.
Because the other thing we got out of this is, yeah. man, people do not like Rudy Gobert.
No, they don't.
Like, and we already knew that, right? Like, going back to the pandemic, he's a guy who seems to play too much. Yeah. Donovan Mitchell did not seem to enjoy being his teammate.
Nope.
All the vibes seemed off there.
Yeah, it didn't go well with the start of the pandemic with him and his antics.
Yeah, no, I can say he seems like a guy who plays too much.
Yeah.
Shout out to my former teammate, Chris Stewart, one of our running backs, always used to say, Chris, you're too big to have fun. Rudy Gobert, too big to have fun, clearly. And you throw the French accent on top of it, and it just ruins everything, apparently, because everyone said the most overrated player in the NBA, Rudy Gobert, with 13.6% of the vote.
Bad
the next closest was Jordan Poole,
yeah.
who's on the cusp of also potentially joining some rarefied air and winning, what, his fourth Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
Which, I don't know, legitimately at this point, I didn't watch every Timberwolves game. Obviously, I'm not a voter when it comes to this stuff. But, man, it is hard to replicate the gravity on defense that our boy Wemby has. You just see everyone, like, you watch it in real time, him just actively turning away people from even thinking about going and shooting. He's such a different force of nature down there.
He's going to be Rookie of the Year, could be Defensive Player of the Year.
I mean, the overwhelming leader in blocks per game. What is he averaging, almost four a game?
What a start to the career. Absolutely amazing.
So, a freak show there. I do think the build a roster from scratch, the fact that LeBron James, at 39 years old, is still getting the same amount of the vote as Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
LeBron James got more amount of that vote than Giannis Antetokounmpo, Steph Curry certainly in there, but wasn't far behind Jason Tatum, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And keep in mind, for all of these, we're talking about a couple hundred votes
exactly.
usually. It's between like 120 and 150 votes.
Yeah, it was 142. 142. For this
142. Yeah. It's about a third of the league.
So, yeah, I can say the Rudy Gobert one, about 81 players voted in that. Most underrated player, Derek White.
Right.
Make Boston fans around here happy. Getting a lot of that vote. A guy who, I kid you not, told him last year, Derek, you need to come on home. You need to come join the Ball Brotherhood.
Oh, boy.
And lo and behold, he does and has probably his best season as a pro. Yep. The proof is in the pudding, man. Once you get the bad fairway off the top of the head, life gets a lot better for everyone involved.
Why don't you stop wearing the hat so much then?
Because it's comfortable.
All right.
It still makes me feel good about
myself. Well, he tied with Jalen Williams, who may be up for most improved player this year, though I think Tyrese Maxey may get that. We'll see.
This is the best one, though.
I love this one. I would love to win this one.
This has to be the most coveted award.
Yes.
And it is also the one that clears by a country mile the clear winner. Who in the league would you least like to fight?
Yeah.
Well, we talk about all the time, you know, baseball fights. Certainly no one actually wants to throw hands. Basketball fights, you get a little bit warmer
every now
there.
And then, you get a little closer, you know, someone lands something. Shaq a few times threw some punches that if they landed, I think would have killed somebody.
Yep. James Johnson.
Yeah.
The overwhelming answer.
By
far. Of the 125 votes cast, 53.6%, who James Johnson previously said that he holds a 20-0 record as a kickboxer, a 7-0 record as a mixed martial artist, and a black belt in karate. His nickname, I didn't know this because I didn't know him, is Bloodsport.
Yeah.
That's not a guy you want to fight. Almost everybody said.
No.
And he also said, if you gave me a year to prepare, he believes that he could beat John Jones in a UFC match.
Well, John Jones has to be eligible and not positive for something.
No, that's a fair point here. That's Mike Golic Sr. that said all that stuff. I promise.
Listen,
you're not going to catch me in public fixing my mouth
John
and
Jones,
say something negative.
Fantastic fighter, but
it's not
gotta be available, right?
Hey, listen.
All right.
Again, that's Mike Golic Sr.
But hey,
saying
those things. That's a vote you want because, as I said, while I think hockey players are some of the toughest players on the planet, I would not want to win the Lady Bing Award in the NHL, right?
Oh,
the most sportsmanlike player. Or,
yes.
You know, I would not want to win that. This is the one I want to win. Someone say, yeah, Golic's the least guy I wanted to fight. I guarantee you that was never said about me.
No, God, I couldn't fight worth a damn. No,
me neither.
How's Boban on there? I feel like Boban is such a gentle giant, though, but yeah, come on.
I always said, Claudia, there's different levels of warning that physical size can fall off. Like in a football locker room, I had plenty of buddies of mine that were tight ends and linebackers who are big guys and like jacked dudes.
Yep. Yeah.
But size-wise, you're more accessible. I always said that's an invitation for a dumbass at a bar who wants to go and try his hand and look cool in front of his buddies. Those guys are still invitation size. Once you get into offensive line range, the guys that are 6'7", 330 pounds, that's deterrent size.
Yeah.
Boban's deterrent. He's just too big to try and even mess with. He was also in John Wick 3, which immediately lends to your
credibility. But also, get a guy that size who has the rep of being don't mess with guy.
Well, that's Stephen Adams. Yeah. Like, Stephen Adams was second on this list here. Gigantic kiwi. No one wants to mess. Stephen Adams, who everyone thinks is 40 and is still somehow sub 30 years old, is beyond me. So he also a well-earned place on this list. But I can't get over this quote. An anonymous NBA player talking about James Jones. He said,
James
quote,
Johnson.
James Johnson, excuse me. Quote, he can actually fight. He's different. He's crazy. He's one of those where you won't win, but if you do win, you'll have to kill him.
Yeah.
Like clearly James Johnson does not need anyone else telling him these things to feel good. He's a man very secure in his ability in this spot. One guy even said, is he still in the league? He's a triple black belt. I'm not effing with James. There's other guys where I might actually lose the fight, but I'm not effing with James. He might kick me in my head. There's difference. There's levels to this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
They also did the GOAT conversation, and now we have numbers to it for the guys actually playing. MJ got 45.9%.
Right. LeBron, 42.
Going against the guy in the league right now.
Yeah.
They are, but, I mean, it's close.
It's closer than I thought it would be.
Well, and you know what I should say? Like, none of it's surprising because Kobe Bryant got a fair amount of votes in this, too. The generation of players that might be voting and playing now, they've grown up with LeBron being the head of the league most of their adult lives and certainly grew up idolizing Kobe like so many others.
One of the best ones, NBA player, they're asked, your favorite current non-NBA athlete. One NBA player said Kirk Cousins, because he gets paid and doesn't have to win or don't have to do anything. He made $400 million off one playoff win. Legend.
See? Hey,
that is all
right.
So true.
Real recognize real and understand the game in a league where marginal players get paid really well all the time in the NBA. Coming up next, though, the worst take I have heard in weeks uttered yesterday by a man I respect so much. I try and grapple with these feelings next.
To another edition of Animike, something that has Gojo all worked up. Is that what it's supposed to sound like?
That's a great intro. You did the Dragon Ball Z voice and everything. I'm
it's
proud
very
of you.
Cool. It is a cool animation. You do that, give me that.
Yeah, the guys did great. If you don't know, it's something that gets Gojo animated, really worked up, a person, a thing, a happening. What's going on, Gojo?
Man, so this one pains me because I love Ben Solak. Does a phenomenal job, the Philly Special podcast, writing, draft analysis. He's one of the best young football minds out there, and he looks like he's even younger than he actually is.
Whatever, he's
he
dead
does
to
look
me.
Young.
Yeah. Dead to me now.
Yeah, so
dead to me.
Ben went to the timeline with this take yesterday that, just take a listen.
Without question, the single most overrated thing in the entire world is eating. Eating is so boring. It takes forever. It takes so long. For such little return on investment, man. Like, I just have to do
staying
this
alive?
Again. And I have to do this again in 4 hours.
What?
If I could wake up every morning and eat a pill or like press a button and then just have the energy I need for the rest of the day in a heartbeat, dude, and never taste anything ever again, without question.
All right. So that's Ben on the Ringer Football, the Ringer NFL show, which is an awesome podcast. I love
Whatever.
The rest of those guys. So I want to first try and shoot Ben some bail, because what it sounds like he's talking about here is cooking, not eating. It's preparation, not consumption.
He didn't say that.
Listen, Dad, I'm trying because I like this man.
Hey,
listen, I understand food preparation inefficient because it does take a long time if you're someone who actually cooks to do all that process, and then the eating, which takes comparatively lesser time. I understand the inefficiency there. But when he's saying eating, and he said subsequently later, his wife is really into cooking. She does a lot of that at home. Then you've taken out all the hard part. Eating itself, the activity, is the greatest thing that we have. Mm-hmm. Sleep is a close second. Sleep rocks. Naps, awesome. But eating itself, the actual masticating, one of my favorite things to do alive. It's delicious every single time.
I don't know how you try and bail him at all.
I'm trying.
There's no bailing at all. Listen, I love you, all my kids. I love all you guys, and you say some dumb stuff that I'll call you.
I've never warred against the thing that makes me the happiest.
This was
life.
Horrific. You know what? You don't come back from this. In my opinion, you do not. That now becomes the first Ben Solak, hates eating.
Like,
you're dead to me. Done.
And we've been around some bad food takes before. Dan Orlovsky, God love him.
King of bad
food
takes.
But Dan likes eating. He just has bad taste.
Yeah,
like he doesn't enjoy flavor. Jason Fitz, some of the worst food takes on planet Earth.
Agreed.
This
But to hate eating.
Like, this goes, like, another level beyond. Like,
horrible.
You flipped the axis. We're looking down on this whole conversation now. Because he's just said, I don't even like eating, like, flavors.
No.
The enjoyment of getting full. Like, think about that satisfying feeling. The inverse of a long road trip where you got to pee real bad and then you get that release at the end. This is the opposite, where I've got this hunger built up and now I get to satisfy that. I get to go to a breakfast buffet like you and I were at yesterday
and
morning
we'll be at
and load up bacon, eggs, waffles, and put all that on there and introduce my body to
we were out last
cacophony,
night.
The symphony of
flavors. We were out last night with Jake Jenny and wonderful Jackson at dinner, and it was a lovely, lovely dinner. The taste is just fantastic. I don't know where this comes from. I don't know where this comes from, and I'm angry about it.
My sister-in-law, Jenny's mom, made us these oatmeal chocolate chip cookies last night.
Yeah.
I had three before bed, made myself sick. They were so good because I couldn't stop. I woke up, I had half of one waiting on the nightstand this morning. That was the first thing I had today. A pill could never get me that.
No.
A pill could never get me that feeling to start my day.
Satisfaction with that.
Again, I understand. The preparation process,
but
that's
didn't
a little
say
bit
it.
Tougher. Everyone's got to love that. But also, stop and smell the roses. Not everything has to be a race for efficiency in this life.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you've got to stop and forget smelling the roses. Smell
taste
sizzling bacon.
How about
on
taste the roses?
Taste
the roses.
I wouldn't taste the roses.
I would.
I don't
candy
think you would.
Roses?
What?
Edible roses.
Edible roses?
Yeah, edible flowers.
Oh, candy roses. I thought you said candied roses. I don't even know what that is. So, all right, Ben, again, find Christ.
Awful.
Give your life
either
to the Lord.
Who
Or you know, just listen to your wife. You said your wife likes to cook. Let her do the things she loves.
I have to say, she probably listened to that, and she was like...
Well, that's the other part, too. Dangerous game he's playing.
Yeah.
Say,
really?
You don't
man.
Like eating when your wife
so
likes
you don't
cooking.
Like eating.
Yeah.
Kitchen would be bare.
He
bare.
Better have
there
cereal for dinner, girl.
Yeah, enjoy
don't
it right
care.
Now.
We, by the way, cereal for dinner. Awesome.
I love cereal
for dinner.
Breakfast for dinner is one of the greatest
things ever. This is the wildest thing I have ever heard. Have you ever, like, I love when I'm so hungry that the first time I eat something, my mouth hurts.
It's almost like that first sip of coffee in the morning for those that like coffee. It's like, Ben, you better give a retraction or I know I'm done with you.
And I saw other people put like co-signing this take.
Come on.
That's
like out where people could see it in public. So we just
get away from me.
Ben, we have a lot of questions. Again, this comes from a place of love. I am worried about you. Because Ben's also a guy who loves a late night trip to the fridge for some cheese when we're stressed out or maybe a little bit drunk. All these things. I've bonded with Ben over and so we've DM'd about cheese, Ben. We've DM'd about cheese. We're dairy boys. I thought we had something special, and you come and betray like this. I'm just a little bit stunned right here. And so I'm going to get us away from this and all these strong feelings with something I care a lot about, which is quarterbacks and Dragon Ball Z.
Oh,
now, shout out to Robert Griffin III, my brother-in-arms on this one. RG3 and the Ones, great podcast, where he started yesterday going out, and he had worked with an artist to make these great renderings comparing current NFL draft prospects at the quarterback position to characters from the popular anime Dragon Ball Z. Obviously saw a lot of this in the timeline recently. The creator of Dragon Ball, the universe, Akira Toriyama, sadly passed away recently. And so this celebration of one of the, I think, most influential cartoons, animes of all time, it's influenced a lot of athletes, has gotten us to this spot. And so credit to RG3 for the bit, but I will say, I had this in my notes app for weeks and just forgotten about it.
Okay.
Until I saw it. I've got the timestamps to prove that. And so, Dad, I want to play a game with you where I am going to read you the description of this Dragon Ball Z character, and you're going to tell me which quarterback in this current NFL draft cycle, the top ones, that I am comping this to, all right?
Okay.
I'm so excited for
you ready
this.
For this
I
one,
can't
Dad?
Wait. You got here?
All right. Here we go, Dad.
Yeah.
The first one up, Perfect Cell, my favorite Dragon Ball Z villain of all time. A flair for the dramatic, tons of charisma, great nails, and has absorbed a lot of other traits from top quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, as soon as you say great nails, Caleb Williams.
There you go.
All right.
Yep.
We ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
Right.
Great job.
Thank you. One for one.
The perfect villain, by the way, had no real aspirations, just wanted to beat folks' ass and wanted to do it in the coolest way possible. All right, number two here, Dad. Calm in the face of chaos, more reliable than previous models from the same maker.
I... That's going to be Drake May over Mitch Trubisky.
Drake May, that's exactly right. Mitch Trubisky, Sam Howell also in
there
as
well.
Right,
Sam Howell, that's right.
Recent North Carolina quarterbacks here. And also, we just haven't heard him talk a lot here. Android, limitless supply of energy.
Okay,
Android 17, by the way, is the Dragon Ball Z character there. Has become a real...
Thought it was Android 14.
No, exactly. Android 16, though. Gave it all for the game. Love that. All right, Dad, this next quarterback here.
Okay.
This is a fun one for me. Gohan. Father believes in him a ton. We hear a lot about all the untapped potential and ability, but rarely have to see it because there's always someone else around to save the day. For the most part, a free thinker who values education. Who is that quarterback?
Well, once you talked about someone else to save the day, you're talking about J.J. McCarthy.
Yes, exactly. J.J. McCarthy.
Because they didn't rely on him a lot. Not that he's not a great kid. We'll see, but... relied on others.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
All right, I'm 3 for 3. This is easy.
3 for 3. All right, here we go. Future Trunks is up next. Not the most powerful, but definitely near the top. Resilient, incredibly resourceful, will put his body on the line, but had to hit the portal to have a better chance of having success.
All right, body on the line, hit the portal. I'm going ASU to LSU, Jaden Daniels.
There we go.
Wow.
We have a winner here.
I thought these were going to be more difficult because I'm over here. Yeah.
I'm just that smart, Claudia.
Nope.
Did you ever think of that?
I'm that smart too because I'm getting these all right.
All right, here's your final one. Let's see if you can go 6 for 6 here. This one has maxed out his power, incredible leadership, always a part of a championship effort, has a special beam cannon for an arm. He has taken a lot of damage over the years, but regenerated well. This is Piccolo from the Dragon Ball Z universe. Which quarterback is this?
Beam cannon. Now,
this is the one me and RG3 had in common right away to start.
I don't think has the strongest arm in the world, but damage and...
No, very, very strong arm, but has taken a lot of damage over the years.
A lot of damage. Well, I mean, that has to be Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, there was only one left, too.
I was going to say, once you said the arm,
out
I just
there as
thought,
well.
Yeah.
That
could have been. An absolute howitzer, a great leadership.
I'm the greatest.
Gohan's actual dad.
I'm the greatest of all time. I'm the greatest of all time.
Piccolo is not the stepfather. He's the father who stepped up while Goku was out messing around. Good job, Dad. I'm proud of you. Stories send you into the rest of your day. As always, download, subscribe, rate, and review. I'm serious. Leave us a 5-star rating. Check us out live Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Here on the DraftKings Network, you can catch the best of Gojo and Golic from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern if you're driving around listening to VSiN on the radio. And as always, if you miss any of it in those spots, you can catch us and our great guests. And we had a bunch of them today. Thank you to Duke Manyweather of O-Line Masterminds, great offensive line scout, developer, for stopping by to talk about some of the prospects in this year's draft. Jordan Morgan, one of those prospects, the offensive tackle out of the University of Arizona, expected to have his name called early. And Steel Chambers, linebacker out of Ohio State, who stopped by to talk to us about his dog, Maverick.
Yeah.
It was awesome. We always love dog dads heading to the NFL. If you missed any of that, check it out wherever you get your podcasts or available right here on YouTube as soon as we get done with the show. Guys, let's have a Hall of Fame debate here with this. Matt Ryan announced his retirement yesterday after 15 seasons. He put out a video of him retiring with the Atlanta Falcons, the team that he spent his career with there. He was selected to 4 Pro Bowls. He was named the 2016 MVP of the league after ushering an offense led by Kyle Shanahan as a coordinator that got all the way to the Super Bowl before finally losing there. Dad, what will you remember about Matt Ryan's career, and do you think it fits him for a gold jacket?
I mean, he's ranked 7th in NFL history in passing, 9th all-time in passing touchdowns. You know, a lot of it, you just say a name, you say Hall of Famer, and I'm just not sure with it.
Yeah, him, I right? think that's it's always just, the kind of test is immediately when it hits
yeah.
you. Some guys debate with Matt Ryan. Hall of very good.
Great guy. And
plus
awesome a great guy, but yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, ranking top 10 in those things, some would say accumulator of stats. But it's still, to be able to do that means you're staying healthy.
Yes.
Yeah. You're able to get those stats. So there's certainly a lot to that. Unfortunately, the Super Bowl, when you're up 28 to 3.
The ultimate memeable Super Bowl that you are now a part of, which, in his defense, is, I think, more Atlanta than it is Matt Ryan.
Exactly.
There's a larger history of colossal disappointment
agreed.
In that town and with a lot of those sports teams.
I just don't say Hall of Famer.
Hall of good. I think that's a good way to put it. Hall of good.
Do you think
Hall
over time he will get in?
He's a guy that could have a shot because, again, some of the volumes there, like we said, was it 14 seasons with Atlanta? You had the one at the end with the Indianapolis Colts that we just saw physically,
yeah,
and especially behind an offensive line that took a massive step back there. It wasn't a good marriage of skill sets there. Played in one of the most prolific offenses. Again, kind of the beginning, launching Kyle Shanahan into the stratosphere of being one of the best play callers in a scheme that now defines so much of the modern NFL, their use of multiple tight end, multiple players in the backfield, a lot of heavy play action stuff, the pairing of him and Julio Jones for a decade that was so prolific.
I don't think he gets in.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he gets in. I do not think he ever ends up getting in.
No, I don't either. But still, a stellar career. The video absolutely was awesome. I mean, just someone who seems like, by all accounts, from the guys you talk, you know, Harry Douglas, a guy I got to work with at ESPN, talked about how great of a teammate he was
there.
You know, Roddy White, that receiver room there. There were so many weapons for so many years in Atlanta, but ultimately fall short. But that does not mean it's not a career worth celebrating now, as he also works himself into the broadcast space. But Claudia, if we're going to talk about former quarterbacks in the broadcast space, Tom Brady, been out here in these streets a lot and apparently going to add Netflix roast to the resume of his media career.
Yeah, if you want to see Tom Brady get roasted by athletes and some other celebrity comedians, you can do so. It's going to be broadcasted on Netflix Sunday, May 5th at 8 p.m. Three people so far confirmed Brady will be there, Kevin Hart, and then Jeff Ross, comedian.
Jeff Ross.
Senior, we're all going to watch this.
Well,
right?
Now, if I remember correctly about you, Claudia, don't you get nerved out by...
I get secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah, so...
Roasts are tough. I didn't realize we were still doing roasts.
Will you watch this? Because I know you get kind of weirded out by that.
I'll watch this. I could see this.
I'll watch it. I love a roast. Unfortunately, I was part of one roast in my life.
Yeah.
Mike and Mike at ESPN, we got roasted, and that was a horrific, horrific experience. And there's actually tape of it that one man has that we're still trying to get it from, because this was back in the day, luckily, when there was no cell phones.
I was going to say, the fact that nothing ever made it out of that, pretty remarkable.
Very remarkable.
I'd love to hear this.
Oh, it was very, very, very bad.
The other interesting
thing. But I'll watch this, absolutely.
The other interesting thing with Tom Brady is I feel like every couple of days we get a new quote from Tom Brady from that Deep Cuts podcast. And the one that came out the other day is particularly funny. Now, Tom Brady's bona fides as a worker, as someone who gave his life to the game of football. Unquestionable, unimpeachable. That being said, it is very funny hearing him talk about the young athletes of today who only care about their brand and are so worried about me and building their brand and all these things. As I'm sure he was walking into this interview clad in TB12 gear, a man who has branded himself better than probably any other athlete in the NFL in recent memory, it is kind of funny considering that his whole life in especially the late stage of his career has been branded.
I think his meaning is guys before they become something are worried about branding, because he didn't do any of that till he became Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, he didn't have the opportunity because he was a sixth-round draft pick.
Understood. Right. I think he means guys that are coming in and haven't...
I mean, he didn't really specify that in the quote saw. He just said,
I'm assuming
today.
That.
It's like the NIL effect. Basically, these guys are in college. They're used to being, you know, hot,
I'm assuming
and then they
that.
Get
all
drafted.
This is to say...
I get it.
I love this as a character for Tom Brady, though. Because while I think it's a little bit humorous considering the source that he would offer this criticism the way he did... We're all wondering if Tom Brady's going to be interesting as a broadcaster, and I think old man on the hill with all the accomplishments that Tom has would be a great lane for him to occupy that would keep giving us quotes like this to all talk about.
Forgetting how he's going to be as a broadcaster, of which I think he'll do well, it's when a quarterback gets hurt and he gets the phone call. Is he coming out of the broadcast booth?
He said he would take it.
He said there's a possibility that he would do that.
That's what I mean. It's all hanging in the balance.
Tom, just don't do that. Why would you do that? Why?
New England fans just want this to be a clean end, and Tom Brady will not give them that satisfaction, which I love. Speaking of a clean break, let's get to the third year, Claudia. Aaron Boone had himself today.
Yeah, and as a girl clearly from New England, I hate agreeing with anything Yankees.
Ha!
But this was absolutely brutal. Aaron Boone got ejected for something he didn't do.
Said it, you're gone. Yonder Wendell's stat is so off base for that.
So the fan in the blue shirt is the one who says something to Hunter Wendelstadt. That's what he reacts to, and he kicks out Aaron Boone, who says, whoa, I didn't say anything. And Brad Ausmus is pointing, saying, it's a fan, it's a fan. And Hunter Wendelstadt said, I don't care.
I mean,
listen,
that's wrong.
I have such a, the baseball umpires, I've been saying this since day one in the media, they love to be part of the show.
Love it.
For officials in any sport, the best thing about it would be if you never have to talk about them. Baseball umpires love to be the center of attention. Mm-hmm. And for this guy, Wendelstadt, to say, his last line was, I understand that's going to be part of a story of something like that because that's what Aaron was portraying. He's the manager of the Yankees, so he's the one that had to go. No, he's not.
Bro, just,
no, he's not.
Bro, just say you got it wrong.
I mean,
just
say, dude.
So, and for anyone unaware of the situation, so this is one batter into the game.
Yeah.
The A's leadoff hitter was hit by a pitch on an 0-2 count. The pitch clearly hit him in the foot. The Yankees dugout thought he swung at it, and so Aaron Boone had gone and voiced his displeasure then. But then the first batter in, all of a sudden, he's sitting there, and you can see, if you didn't watch the video on DraftKings Network, he's sitting there looking at his nails in the dugout.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything. Ryan Rucco, who you heard on the broadcast there, immediately points out, you can see the fan say something, and we've got the benefit of technology. Hunter, you just got to take the L after this man.
Aaron Boone literally did the goes.
You know what?
Does
they don't
the
know
asterisk.
How to take the L because they can't admit they're wrong. Very rarely there have been
usually
times.
Officials in professional leagues only have their errors admitted
via
like a pool report
exactly.
or some note sent out by the league. After they never have to answer to it the way everybody else
basically,
does.
Basically, this dude is saying doesn't matter whatever happened. He's the manager. He's the one that has to go. Hunter, you are so wrong. It's embarrassing. You're embarrassing how wrong you were in this situation.
Oh, it's just Aaron Boone's reaction. How, like Claudia said, however you feel about the Yankees.
Yeah.
I think we've all been there before. We've been blamed for something that someone else does. And boy, the reaction was priceless. Priceless would also be how we'd feel about you if you gave us a download, a subscription, a rating, or a review. Leave us 5 stars and check us out here Monday through Friday. Thank you guys so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.